You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off. Racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Thursday. That's the 7th of June. Hopefully you can join us on Racing Radio for a day of flat racing action from Yarmouth, Haydock and Ripon in the afternoon, before attention turns to Leopardstown, Sandown and Carlisle in the evening. Now in the podcast studio, my name's John Gibby, joined by commentator Gareth Tobham. Hello Gareth, how are you?
Yeah, good John. A day where there's been obviously plenty of various, well, two in particular headlines, which obviously we're going to discuss. And yeah, quite a, almost a sad day for racing, but you know, I'm really pleased for Andrew Thornton that you know, he's come to this decision. All of a sudden the time is right for him to finally hang up his boots.
Well, let's start by talking about Andrew Thornton, of course, William Hill's very own, an illustrious 28 year career in the saddle, over 1,000 national hunt winners. He's won a Cheltenham Gold Cup, you know, multiple Grade 1 winners, a fantastic career. And he's finishing off now, having come back as well from injury when some people thought it might be a bit unlikely, and ridden even more wins.
Yeah, he did. He was oh so keen to get the 1,000, wasn't he? And he did that at Christmas at Wincanton. He was quite lucky to get that 1,000th winner that day. But obviously he's had a couple since then. He's had a pretty good few weeks, actually. And it's just nice that, you know, he's felt that the time is right, because he got a lot of media attention at the time around Christmas. Everybody coming up to him, are you going to retire? Is now the right time? And he said, no, I'll retire when I want to retire. And he's gone on, and, you know, at the most random time, really. He said he had that dream the other night where he woke up about 3 a.m. and he thought, yeah, this is the right time. But a brilliant career, fantastic horseman. A memory for me that stands out was when he rode Kingscliff around Ascot, around sort of probably 15 odd years ago now. Kingscliff was a top class hunter chaser. He won the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham, and the following season he graduated into being a top staying chaser, full stop. He ran in many Grade 1 contests. I think he was placed in a King George, might have won a what's the Betfair Chase at Haydock, but at Ascot this particular afternoon, Andrew's rein snapped from a very early stage, and he had very little control of the horse all the way round. And for about 2.5 miles of the journey, he was literally just hanging on and praying that the horse didn't do anything wayward. And Kingscliff wasn't that sort of horse. He was quite straightforward, but it was still a wonderful piece of horsemanship, one of the best that I've seen since I've been into racing. And that just goes to show the level of the man, really. A superb horseman through and through.
Fantastic. Well, he's finishing up now. He'll obviously be spending more time on his media career with his family as well. He's got more time for that, and we'll get to see more of him hopefully around here at William Hill as well. I mean, I think it's no surprise that he's managed to make his mark on the world of media, you know, with ourselves, with ITV Racing, with various other organisations, because he's not only obviously a fantastic horseman, but a very pleasant man to be around, and also a great communicator.
He is. He's been in the game long enough, hasn't he? We've been saying this career in the saddle has gone on for years and years and years, and there's not much that you know about racing that Andrew Thornton didn't. And as you say, he's a great communicator. I was on a Cheltenham Festival preview panel with him earlier on in the year, and he's absolutely fantastic. His knowledge, he's very you absorb plenty of information when you're in and around Andrew Thornton. He's fantastic to listen to. He's very convincing. He makes a good case. So yeah, as so many jockeys do after a riding career, they make it into the media, and Andrew's going to be a real pleasant welcome into it. He's already started off, and as you say, he's a member here of the William Hill team. He does a great job. He's a great guy to be around, always very intriguing to listen to, and yeah, I'm looking forward to spending more time with him.
And if you want to hear more from Andrew Thornton on his retirement, on this very podcast feed, you can hear him talking to Mark Walton about his final few rides, and also looking back, of course, on that 28-year career. Andrew Thornton, who is retiring today as we record this on Wednesday, possibly yesterday as you listen on Thursday. We'll turn our attention now to less bittersweet news, just sad news, really, Gareth, and that's the news that Denman has passed away, of course. One of the great staying chasers, a real icon of an era that was synonymous with some of the best I think we've probably ever seen. You know, certainly for me growing up, Denman, Cordo Star, Long Run, these sorts of horses. And he's sadly had to be put down. Paul Nicholls said that, you know, the decision was right because he'd been sort of becoming slightly more ill in the last few days. But fantastic career, obviously, the Gold Cup, the two Hennessys, especially the second one. And I think we've just lost one of the greats.
We have. My all-time favourite chaser, and I'm sure he was many other people's all-time favourite as well. Just a horse that bullied the opposition. He was nicknamed the Tank. When you were in the presence of the horse, it was easy to see why. When you watched him race, it was easy to see why. I think one of his most memorable performances was, of course, when he beat his big rival, his stable companion, Cordo Star, in the Gold Cup back in 2008. The whole season had sort of been built towards these two horses meeting. And, of course, Denman on that day came out on top. He met Cordo Star three times. He came out on top on two of those occasions. They were all at Cheltenham in the Gold Cup. They were just two splendid horses. It's sad to think that less than 10 years on from when they dominated the top of that staying chase tree, neither of them are with us anymore.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable to think that. But he's just left so many great memories. That second Hennessy win was off a mark of 174, I think it was absolutely incredible. Something that we're unlikely to see again for a very, very long time, if indeed in our lifetime. It was an incredible achievement. When he won it the first time, he bolted up. And of course, when he won it the second time, he'd come back from that issue that he'd had with his heart. So he was probably past his ultimate best. I think he was at his very best when he won that Gold Cup. And maybe it was that Gold Cup which just began the problems with Denman, because he put so much into it. He had a bit of time off the track. He came back looking a bit of a shadow of his former self, and then of course the following season he bounced back and he won that Hennessy off such a lofty weight and a high mark, and that was a very strong renewal of the Hennessy as well. And I just remember when he jumped the final fence that day, I was actually at Newbury in attendance that day, the roar from the crowd. We all go on about the Cheltenham roar and the roar at Aintree, how fantastic it is. I don't think I've ever heard a roar in racing as loud as when he touched down in front of his stable companion, What a Friend, at that last fence. I think those people that had backed horses behind him that day were almost still cheering him on the running, because they realised what an achievement it actually was. Fantastic horse, and yeah, he's going to be sorely missed. I think the nice thing with Denman is that, obviously, with racehorses, they're bred to race, they're bred to work, and Denman, he didn't retire and just go into a field and that was that. He was a horse that went on to have a career in hunting and doing other things as well. You know, he was busy right up until the end. And such a shame that in the last couple of weeks he's obviously gone downhill in terms of his health. He did have that heart problem as a racehorse. Maybe his constitution wasn't quite as what it could have been. But he was just a thoroughly brilliant staying chaser, and one of the best that I'm ever likely to see.
He's sort of the epitome of that phrase we hear bandied around a lot, you know, an old-fashioned chaser, that sort of thing. You don't get many of those around anymore, really. You know, you might say synchronised possibly in the time since, but those real tough, you know, proper stayers. You know, the horses that could have won, you know, Hennessy's or Nationals, I know Denman never did, but could have done, as well as Gold Cups.
Yeah.
You know, real tough, real grit. He was really in that mould for me.
Yeah, he was. Obviously, these days, the way that jump horses are bred, we see a lot of them bred out of, you know, flat horses. They're not necessarily bred to do the job. Denman, he was just very sort of to be around him. There was that presence. He was huge, and I think at home he had a bit of an attitude as well, whereby, you know, he was a bit of a miserable sort of horse. He wasn't the one that came out and would have his picture taken with you. That was Cordo Star.
Yeah.
He was the lovely character. Denman was sort of, you know, the grunter, the bully, if you like. And as we've said already, he proved that on the track, didn't he? He came out time and time again and just bossed his fields. And the thing that Denman did that so many chasers and hurdlers that are really high quality these days don't do, he ran in those handicaps. And of course, we associate that with the more sort of old-fashioned type of chaser. You know, your Arkles, your Desert Orchids, your Red Rums. They were all top class, but they ran and they won these big handicaps. And Denman is one of very few in this era that we've actually seen come out and do the same, and to that level as well. And I think that's why he got such an appreciation from those that were watching him. And I think that's why his name will live long and long in the memory.
Denneman, the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, who has died aged 18. Right, we move now on to taking a look at tomorrow's racing. There you go. We've been talking a lot about the jumps so far today on the podcast, and rightly so, but it's all about the flat on Thursday. You've got two selections for us, and I believe the first run's in Haydock's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm actually going for these two horses because I saw them at Beverley a few weeks ago and I was quite taken with each of their performances. The first one runs in this 2 o'clock at Haydock. It's Quantat Mental. He was trained by Tom Dascombe. He needs no introduction where Haydock races are concerned. And this horse won, as I say, at Beverley over a mile and a half at last time out. Pretty quick conditions on that occasion, but he made all of the running. For me, he was never challenged. He just looked like a horse that had finally found the thread and is going to be able to go on from this. He'll have to as well. He's now racing off a marker of 70, but he's looking more progressive in this race than many, if not all, of his rivals. And as I say, that win at Beverley was quite eye-catching. He bossed the field, and I'm expecting him to probably adopt similar sort of tactics when he goes out tomorrow. He's well drawn as well in store number two if he is going to apply those front-running tactics once again. I just think he's going to take an awful lot of catching. Very similar conditions. Once again, the race is over pretty much a mile and a half. Not quite as stiff a mile and a half as at Beverley, you'd say Haydock. And of course, it is going the other way around as well. But he's got good to firm conditions. I just think he's going to take the world of beating. He's a horse going places, a horse going forward. I think he'll take the beating. Quantat Mental in that 2 o'clock.
Quantat Mental, the son of New Approach. Tom Dascombe's charge will be run by PJ McDonald in Haydock's 2 o'clock. 40 minutes later, Ripon have a 2:40, their second race of the day, a handicap over a mile and a quarter. Gareth, what do you like here?
The horse I quite like is Juno, who represents trainer Mark Johnston. Joe Fanning is taking the ride. And as I say, I saw this horse at Beverley a couple of outings ago as well. And he ran second on that occasion. She did. It was a good effort. She possibly didn't get the clearest of runs. I think she was beaten by a fair horse in Never Been to Paris, who has, it must be said, come out and been beat since, but wasn't beaten too far. But Juno did improve on from that Beverley race, and she went on to win at Bath last time out. She was a short price to do it. She didn't win by all that far, but she showed a really good attitude in the closing stages to fend off her challengers. And because she didn't win that race by all that far, handicap hasn't punished her all that much, and she's just a likeable type. She's very consistent. She's been in the first two in four of her last five outings. She got that deserved success last time, and I think now she might just be able to follow up again with conditions very much in her favour. She's drawn in stall five. We tend to think that with Ripon races, particularly on the round course, being on the front end certainly isn't a bad place to be. It does tend to suit a front runner, and I'm certain that she'll probably be made plenty of use of once again with Joe Fanning on board tomorrow. So the track suits, the way that she races around there will suit her. I think she'll take, again, plenty of catching Juno.
Appears to tick plenty of boxes for Gareth in that 2:40 at Ripon. Just one of a whole host of races we've got live on Racing Radio. Yarmouth, Haydock and Ripon in the afternoon. Remember, Leopardstown, Sandown and Carlisle in the evening, including two listed races at Leopardstown as well. Here people are complaining over the past few days about all the jumps racing. No complaining to be had on Thursday. Plenty of flat action for all you flat fans out there. And join us then on Racing Radio and tomorrow for another Daily Racing Podcast. Gareth, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.